top, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back. You're listening to... whatever that case may be. Bob, you asked an interesting question, and it bears addressing. People contact me all day long, hundreds of people a week, asking basically what you did, can I hold their hand? It's really not possible to do that in that context. I mean, this is a complex scenario. If a lawyer were to attempt to do what I'm describing to you here today, they would put a staff of half a dozen people on it if they had those kind of resources. They would charge accordingly, and you'd be looking at one of OJ's legal bills, that sort of scenario. Or else, you get the criminal attorney who meets you in the back of the courthouse, and I've seen thousands of those guys at work. They open the file while the case ahead of them is being called, then they go in the back room and they try and nail a deal with the local assistant DA for the day, and that's the brand of justice that you get. There are two brands of justice within the equity system. What I'm trying to do, Bob, the reason I keep mentioning the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, and the reason I named it that, is for this very reason. I need help. And since all of you out
This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, Sunday Night Public Broadcasting Network. Good to be with you on this Monday morning. We hope to have Elon Pop on this AM at 9 a.m. Central Time, coming from Haifa, Israel. He's going to be discussing his book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. If you've not read that book, you can turn to a summation of it at Elon's own website, which we have also posted at Breaking All the Rules News. That's Elon Pop, P-A-P-P-E. The title of that book is The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. All kinds of things that we could talk about this morning and will talk about in relation to the news stories that really matter. I'm looking at a piece that someone mailed me, by the way, from the Grand Rapids Press up in Michigan. It's entitled Mercenary Millionaire, Holland Native, and his security company cash in on global conflict. And they're talking about Eric Prince, the head of Blackwater USA, now among the world's largest private security contractors. And it's interesting as we look at this whole situation involving private contractors in Iraq, we get back to this whole situation that involves a lot of public reexamination of this whole business of using private mercenaries in conflicts that involve the United States. And this gets into all kinds of subsidiary questions that have never been answered in regard to profits and in regard to involvements in paper trails and money trails and political trails that involve some of these significant players, of which Eric Prince and the Blackwater Company are certainly two. Global Research has a very important post today entitled Mission Accomplished, 48 Blood-Soaked Months Later. 4 years ago, alleged draft dodger-in-chief landed on aircraft carrier USS Lincoln and declared that mission was accomplished. And Felicity Arbuthnot has this post at globalresearch.ca.
And she mentions this, complete with pictures of Mr. Bush's appearance at the, on the USS, USS Abraham Lincoln from May the 1st, 2003. She goes on to say that 48 blood-soaked months later, what exactly has been accomplished? Possibly as many as 1 million Iraqi dead, 4 million fled or displaced internally, the largest exodus since the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. The erasing of the history, monuments, and archaeological sites of the cradle of civilization. The kidnapping and lynching of the president and members of the legitimate government. The slaughter of the president's sons and grandson. 100 journalists and 37 support workers killed. A figure in order of magnitude higher than any war zone on Earth. It seemed to be policy from day one, literally. Over 300 academics assassinated and thousands fled. The education of the next generation snatched from Iraq's youth, in the country that brought near every academic subject to the world. Overflowing morgues, sectarian gangs roaming hospitals and pulling patients from beds and taking them to their deaths. Over 2,000 physicians killed, 250 kidnapped, and 18,000 fled. Palestinians who have lived in Iraq for generations killed and threatened and fleeing again to a no-man's land unsafe in Iraq and unable to cross borders. Sectarian strife, militias introduced of the invasion between peoples who had lived together for 1,000 years. Ongoing suicide bombings in a country where they were unheard of. Rigged elections, the results achieved by threats, and then death, bribery, and threat of ration card confiscation. Abu Ghraib's torture, death, sodomy, naked prisoners, and electrodes. For every liberation, there is a situation that involves now a crisis for the U.S. Army's image. The uncounted numerous other secret prisons across Iraq. Then there's Fallujah, Samarra, Tal Afar, Ramadi, Al-Qayyam, Mahmudiya, Iskandariya, Baquba, Haditha, Najaf, Karbala, Basra, and the slaughters that are too many to mention across the whole of Iraq. The U.S. troops' rape of a child and the burning of her family. The kicking down of doors at 3 a.m. to humiliate and to terrify and to steal. The disappeared in the thousands. The destruction of an entire civil society with every institution and all of the records of its citizens. The attempted theft of Iraq's oil. And a series of other things we'll take a look at when we come back. This is Felicity Abernathy's piece entitled Mission Accomplished, 48 Blood-Soaked Months Later at GlobalResearch.ca. Ilan Pop of the Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ilan Pop of the Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time, coming all the way from Haifa, Israel, to speak about his book. You can find all kinds of things on the net about this volume, considered by my friend Terrell E. Arnold of Rents to be the finest book of its type ever published on the subject. And if you go to Elon Pop's website, you can find out more information about the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. I've also posted front page information on this at Breaking All the Rules News with a link to Elon Pop's website so that you can see the contents of the book for yourself in terms of a basic summation and synopsis of what's in it. You know, we get back today to a series of things that are going on in American foreign policy that certainly underscore the fact that the right hand does not know what the left is doing, and that the average American is becoming ensconced in a situation that he or she has not understood up to this point. Classic example of this comes to us today from the Grand Rapids Press up in Michigan, dated Sunday, April 29th, which has been a little over a week ago. There's a very, very significant story in here about the founder and owner of the Blackwater USA private security contracting company, doing all kinds of things, of course, going on both in Iraq and in Afghanistan. The head of this company is a young man named Eric Prince, E-R-I-K, Prince. Eric Prince has all kinds of interesting political connections to the national security establishment and to the Christian right in this country, and indirectly to the Amway Corporation. And he is now, of course, the head of Blackwater USA. And it raises all kinds of questions as to what's going on over there and what the relationship is between government and private contractor when it comes to putting a war together and prosecuting a war. And how in the world do we find ourselves dealing with issues related to oversight and to accountability and to funding? I want to look a little bit at this Eric Prince piece that is discussed in the Grand Rapids Press, and then maybe turn over a little bit to what Terry Arnold has to tell us in terms of the May 6th Rents.com, where Terry's got a piece entitled Torture, the Guantanamo Escape from Accountability. Certainly it seems to me that when we talk about the war in Iraq, we're talking about an accountability problem that will not go away. All kinds of things have been transpiring since March of 2003 that our government has not been held accountable for.
either where it comes to the American people or where it comes to the situation in Iraq generally as it relates to the international community. But suffice it to say that in the Grand Rapids Press today, Eric Prince of Blackwater is discussed at some length. Even back in high school, at Holland Christian High School, we're told that he did some of his best work behind the scenes. As a senior, Prince played on the 1986 soccer team that won a state championship, but his coach remembers him for traits other than athletics. He was very, very intense, recalled Coach Dan Walcott. Prince wore a Marine haircut and a decade of longer hair. He was often the last to leave practice, even staying behind to pick up balls. He was quiet. Walcott said there was something else about Prince. You knew if he was going to do something, he was going to go after it. Prince's call to action came a decade later. He is the son of Holland industrialist Edgar Prince and an ex-Navy SEAL who tapped his inherited wealth in 1996 to found a little-noticed North Carolina security firm that would become Blackwater USA. Family connections helped, as the brother to former Michigan GOP chairwoman Betsy DeVos and brother-in-law to her husband, 2006 GOP gubernatorial candidate Dick DeVos, Prince had access to Capitol Hill power brokers. But his business plan did not crystallize until after the September the 11th attacks. With the U.S. decision to go to war in Afghanistan and Iraq, a changing military looked to the private sector to complete a variety of missions. Blackwater was in prime position to capitalize. According to government records, Blackwater has reaped more than $800 million in federal contracts over the past 5 years. With Eric Prince at the helm, the firm stands at the center of growing controversy over the role of private security firms in times of war. Lawmakers in a Democratic Congress are pressing for more aggressive oversight of firms such as Blackwater. A recent book entitled Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, has added public scrutiny. Beyond that, a pair of lawsuits allege that the company negligence resulted in death. And one of the suits stems from the grisly mutilation and killing of four Blackwater contractors in Fallujah, Iraq, in 2004. Eric Prince, age 37, almost never talks to the media and declined several requests to be interviewed for this story. He is rarely photographed in public. But in a rare email interview with a Virginian Pilot newspaper in 2006, he outlined his vision for the firm. Quote, "We have a very long-term view to our work," unquote, Prince wrote. "We see ourselves assisting in the transformation of the Department of Defense into a faster, more nimble organization. The private sector has always led innovation in our country," unquote. One expert on the private military said Prince stands apart from the typical profile of a private security firm executive. According to Deborah Avant, professor of political science at George Washington University, Prince and others like him are eager to prove the legitimacy of their firm's offerings. She knows Prince better than some of the others, since he stops by her office from time to time to chat about security issues. But other qualities set Blackwater and its founder apart. Quote, "Blackwater is owned by one guy who is very rich," Avant said. "He's very connected. He's very tied to the Christian right." Avant said many of these firms send her Christmas cards, as did Blackwater last year. "Theirs was the only one with a nativity scene on the front," she said. Given his upbringing, that's not surprising. Prince grew up in Holland, Michigan, coming of age at a time of prosperity for his father's automotive firm. Edgar Prince built Prince Corporation from scratch into Holland's biggest employer, with 4,500 workers at 8 plants, including one in Mexico. Quietly, Edgar Prince gave millions of dollars to revitalize Holland, even as he shunned publicity. Quote, "The whole family was like that. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree," said State Representative Bill Huizenga, a Republican from Zeeland and a classmate of Prince at Holland Christian. Huizenga recalled Prince as being very patriotic, and he talked of joining the military as far back as high school. Edgar Prince and his wife Elsa were committed to the Republican cause and a conservative social agenda that fit the family's Christian Reformed church roots. Gary Bauer, former head of the Family Research Council and a 2000 candidate for president, credited Edgar Prince with a key role in getting the council off the ground. Quote, "I can say without hesitation that without Ed and Elsa and their wonderful children, there simply would not be a Family Research Council," unquote, Bauer wrote. Prince was accepted into the Naval Academy after high school, but dropped out after three semesters, enrolling at Hillsdale College, long considered a bastion for conservative values. In 1992, Eric Prince and his father split politically with his sister, Betsy DeVos, who was then the 5th District GOP chairwoman. They backed Pat Buchanan for president. She supported George Herbert Walker Bush. As a 22-year-old senior at Hillsdale, Prince explained his decision to the press. Quote, "I interned with the Bush administration for 6 months," unquote, he said. "I saw a lot of things I didn't agree with. Homosexual groups being invited in, the budget agreement, the Clean Air Act, those kinds of bills. I think the administration has been indifferent to a lot of conservative concerns," unquote. Eric Prince also found time in college to volunteer for the Hillsdale Fire Department. The Reverend Robert Sirico, a Catholic priest and founder of the Grand Rapids-based Acton Institute, a conservative think tank, recalled a dinner meeting with Prince around 1990. At that dinner, Sirico met with Dick DeVos, his parents, Rich and Helen DeVos, and Edgar and Elsa Prince. He recalled Prince joined the dinner later, coming in smelling like smoke, fighting a fire. We'll be back looking at Eric Prince of Blackwater USA, now among the largest private security contractors, in this piece from the Grand Rapids Press up in Michigan. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, broadcasting. We'll be back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Thank you.
Broadcast Network. Ilan Pop of the Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning. We're going to do a hookup from Haifa, Israel. Speak to Ilan about his book, which Terry Arnold of Rents.com has described as the finest volume of its work extant. And coming from Terry Arnold, I think that that's quite a compliment to Mr. Papp. We're going to be taking a look at this whole situation in Palestine, both historically and presently, with him at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Getting back then to this whole bit from the April 29th Grand Rapids Press up in Michigan. Mercenary millionaire, Holland, as in Holland, Michigan, Holland native and his security company, cash in on global conflict. This Eric Prince is a very interesting guy who leads Blackwater USA. He also has a president for his company whose name is Gary Jackson. Jackson, much like Eric Prince, is described here as a fitness freak and, like Prince, is a former Navy SEAL. And this is kind of interesting to look through this piece because, once again, it shows the role that private companies have played in Iraq policy from the beginning, and without the level of accountability that one presumes would be a part of a government-sponsored operation. But nonetheless, this graph provided to us in this article by the U.S. General Services Administration is very revealing. In the year 2000, Blackwater USA had a total of $204,911 in federal contracts. As of 2006, that figure grew to $584,245,116. So you're talking in that situation about almost, over half $1 billion in contracts pertaining to the Blackwater USA company. And when we look at what they do and how they do it and who they do it with and what their connections are up on Capitol Hill, this would make for a very, very interesting story. I have the feeling that the Grand Rapids Press has only scratched the beginning of the surface in regard to this Blackwater USA company and who's connected with it, who's behind it, who supports it, and is it what Jeremy Scahill describes as the secretive and private Praetorian Guard of the Bush administration. Now, Scahill has a book that I've taken a look at in the bookstores. I have not yet read it in its entirety, but it's entitled Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. It is very definitely, I suspect, worth our while to take a look at Scahill's book and to compare it with what's in this Grand Rapids Press publication of April 29th. But there are certain names that keep cropping up in regard to this Eric Prince Blackwater USA story. One is this Deborah Avant. We've already mentioned her in reading a bit of this piece from the Grand Rapids Press. She's a professor of political science at George Washington University who often speaks with Eric Prince about security issues. Then, of course, there's Gary Jackson, the president of Blackwater, like Eric Prince, a former Navy SEAL. Someone by the name of Stephen Schooner, an Army Reserve officer and professor at the George Washington University Law School. That's Stephen Schooner. Then, of course, there's the infamous Kenneth Starr, Whitewater prosecutor whose investigation led to the impeachment of President Clinton, hired by Blackwater to handle Supreme Court appeal of lawsuit over the 2004 deaths of Blackwater contractors at Fallujah. So there you have it, folks. There's a very interesting connection between Blackwater USA and Eric Prince on the one hand and Ken Starr of Whitewater fame on the other. Kofor Black is another name that comes up in this article. He is the vice chairman of Blackwater. He is a longtime operative for the Central Intelligence Agency. He's a State Department coordinator for counterterrorism. He has collected intelligence that led to the 1994 capture of terrorist Carlos the Jackal, reading what the Grand Rapids Press has to say about it here. And there's somebody by the name of Joseph Schmitz, former Inspector General of the Department of Defense. And then, of course, the Reverend Robert Sirico, who is the founder of the Acton Institute. We'll be back. This is Mark Campos, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, Podcasting Network. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ilan Pop of the Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine is going to be with us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Prior to that time, we've been looking at a couple of news stories that pertain to the war in Iraq, looking at a couple of things that have been posted today by globalresearch.ca. And then we go back to this Grand Rapids, Michigan Press article of Sunday, April 29th. Front page story there about Eric Prince, the head of Blackwater USA. You know, I don't think one has to be a genius to look at this article to tell that there are a lot of very interesting, significant, and in some cases, subterranean political connections that are involved with the young man who heads this company and with the company itself that bear closer inspection. I mentioned at least a few of these names, including the former Inspector General of the Department of Defense, Joseph Schmitz, who is now the Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel for the Prince Group, which is Blackwater's parent company. And, of course, this fellow Eric Prince has all kinds of connections to other significant people in the national security establishment in Washington, D.C., including some folks at George Washington University, and also Kofor Black, who was not only a CIA operative, he was the State Department's coordinator for counterterrorism for quite some period of time. Then there's the connection to Ken Starr. You know, you can go back to something that happened in 2004. You know, prior to that time, March 31st, 2004, not too many Americans had ever heard of Blackwater. But then on March 31st of 2004, there were four Blackwater contractors that were killed. They become, as the Grand Rapids Press has described it, the icons for a war that has gone wrong.
They were killed as they entered Fallujah, escorting a convoy of trucks. Their bodies were burned, mutilated, and strung up from a bridge by an angry mob. And this Grand Rapids Press article from April 29th mentions an Ohio resident by the name of Donna Zavko, age 54, who lost her son, former Army Ranger Jerry Zavko, age 32, in that attack. She is among the survivors suing Blackwater. Apparently, Blackwater is not too anxious for the truth of this whole thing to come out and for an accounting of this whole situation to be brought before the surviving family members. So there are a number of people, including Mrs. Zavko, who are suing Blackwater. Blackwater has in turn retained the infamous Ken Starr to defend them from a Supreme Court appeal of a lawsuit over these 2004 deaths of these fellows at Fallujah. That'll be a very interesting thing to watch to see how that plays out. But this guy, Eric Prince, you know, I used to see this sort of thing all the time when I was a district chairman in the Republican Party in Seattle, and then brushed up against it years later when I had less involvement, but some involvement with the Texas State Republican Party. There always seemed to be these significant players around who have these connections that bear closer inspection. And Eric Prince of Blackwater USA is certainly one of those. We've mentioned Deborah Avant and Stephen Schooner of George Washington University. There's Gary Jackson, the president of Blackwater, Ken Starr, Kofor Black, Joseph Schmitz, the Reverend Robert Sirico of the Acton Institute. This fellow Eric Prince has a lot of very interesting political associations. And the piece in the Grand Rapids Press goes on to say that since 1989, he's given, Eric Prince has, more than $235,000 to a variety of Republican candidates and so-called conservative causes, going all the way back to age 19, when he gave $15,000 to the National GOP Congressional Campaign Committee. 1990, he gave money to Jesse Helms. 1994, to Oliver North. Gave $1,000 in 1994 to Rick Santorum up in Pennsylvania. Gave $10,000 in 98 and in 99 to Restoring the American Dream, that political action committee that is founded, was founded by former Amway president Dick DeVos, who just happens to be Eric Prince's brother-in-law. That's a fascinating one. There's $6,000 given by Eric Prince in both 96 and 98 to the Susan B. Anthony List PAC, which is an anti-abortion group. Then in 2000 and 2001, Eric Prince gave $107,500 to the Republican National State Election Committee. And in 2004, gave $25,000 to the Republican National Committee. In 2005, gave $25,000 to the National GOP Congressional Committee. And then in 2004 and 2005, Eric Prince gave $3,100 to the Congressional Committee of former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay. You know, when you look at these kinds of connections, it's very fascinating, isn't it, to see where all of this might lead? There's one thing that is not mentioned, as near as I can tell, anywhere in this article, and I have not read Jeremy Scahill's book on Blackwater to determine if Scahill mentions anything about it there. But I have a very strong sense, and it would only make sense that this would be the case, that the Israeli lobby floats around this company as well, either at the center or at the periphery, or in terms of having a cozy relationship with it. One would suspect that the founder of Blackwater is very conversant with the Israelis. You would suspect that on the basis of the connections to these pro-Israeli politicians, Jesse Helms, Oliver North, and Rick Santorum, just to name three, and Tom DeLay. I just suspect that if we delved into this more deeply, we would find an Israeli connection, a very significant one. If any of you out there are listening to this who know anything about that subject, let me know about it. I'd be very interested to see what the connections might be between the Israeli lobby and Blackwater USA, and to its Major Denison, whose name is Eric Prince. And again, this young man hails originally from Holland, Michigan, And just looking at that April 29th story in the Grand Rapids Press gives us some degree of perception, potentially, in regard to the level of political power that is involved with this company, up to and including hiring Ken Starr as a defense attorney in defending themselves from this lawsuit that again goes back to March the 31st, 2004, when four of these Blackwater USA contractors were killed in Fallujah in Iraq under circumstances that have never been adequately or fully explained in any sense of the word. That brings us then to another point when it comes to accountability. Terrence Arnold has a piece today at Rents.com entitled Torture, the Guantanamo Escape from Accountability. Maybe the Blackwater mentality has seeped into our government's structure or vice versa in a way that has created a symbiotic relationship between our government and contractors like Blackwater. But suffice it to say that as the average American looks at these circumstances in Fallujah or in Guantanamo, there is this queasy feeling that we have become something quite different from what we have always perceived ourselves as being in the past, and that potentially we're talking about an American society that bears no real resemblance to the American Republic whatsoever. And I find it fascinating that there are so many young conservatives who probably would affirm someone like Eric Prince. And when I look at his whole story, I find myself coming up with a different version of the American right wing from the one that I represent. The American right, the old American right, the right of the old republic, which is what I believe in, is certainly one that was suspicious in the extreme of foreign entanglements and foreign wars. We wanted to mind our own business. The notion that we would personally profit by a war that was not in the best interest of the majority of the citizens of our nation was an absolutely abhorrent idea. And yet here we have a situation now where this Blackwater USA story, I think, underscores that something is seriously wrong with our entire political structure. And the fact of the matter is that there has been a complete retreat from accountability. What Terrell E. Arnold describes at Rents.com as the Guantanamo escape from accountability, especially as it relates to torture. Terry goes on to say then that ever since the gross abuses at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq broke into electronic and print media in late 2003, the public has been exposed to the unfolding horror of American uses of torture. Reflexive efforts have been made by the Bush administration and apologists to blame a few bad apples for torture at Abu Ghraib and other sites such as Guantanamo. But those efforts, if anything, have provoked exposure of extensive uses of torture in U.S. military and intelligence operations while bringing to light the egregious patterns of torture and abuse that are commonplace in the American prison system. While Abu Ghraib was generally greeted as a sad departure from American norms, truth must force us to reflect on how torture has become a power tool of common, if unproven, utility in American and foreign practice. What must trouble us even more is the extent to which Americans accept the pattern as normal, while laws are being bent to accommodate it. A May 5, 2007 Washington Post article reports the moral decay that is spreading among our troops. More than one in three support torture, while many seem unconcerned about harm to civilians. The dirty war practices of U.S. contractors such as Blackwater in Iraq add an immoral and officially sanctioned pattern of corruption to the American image. The historic role of torture. In the history of humanity, torture has been the most persistent single instrument of political coercion. Every historic empire had a place for it. Some cloaked it in the raiment of justice, using the tools and the practices of torture as exemplary means to enforce law, custom, or mere monarchical preferences. Believed by its most avid practitioners to be a tool for avoiding change, it often has provoked first the perception, then the rebellion, and then the fact of desirable change. Every empire that practiced torture is gone, including the Holy Roman Empire. The Catholic Church probably set the course record with a 350-year run of inquisitions. Its principal achievement, however, was the provocation and growth of powerful religious alternatives. Saddam Hussein is the only modern torturer to pay for his crimes by being forcibly overthrown. But even before he had been crudely tried and brutishly hanged, his conquerors had reinstituted torture in Iraq on a scale easily as brutal as anything Saddam had practiced. Then we get into the U.S. uses of torture. U.S. applications have included killing Saddam's two sons as part of an operation the Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld said was, quote, the task of the commanders on the ground to find and capture or kill the senior leadership from Iraq, unquote. That gambit was preceded, even before the invasion, by an effort to assassinate the head of state, a violation of international law. With those actions, the Bush administration openly embraced assassination, having already embraced torture as a tool of national policy. That brings us up to the present and to Guantanamo. The U.S. prison at Guantanamo now contains upward of 400 detainees, and it has held more than 650 at times. Of that number, which has fluctuated since the beginning of the Iraq War, only a few have been charged and submitted to trial. Such trials are occurring under the Military Commissions Act. This legislation rules out use of treatments obtained by torture, but if extreme treatment causes the victim to name a suspect or identify an incriminating document, those data can be used in court. Under those rules, detainees at Guantanamo have no Miranda rights. They have been, and even now, are being tortured. A person tortured may incriminate himself or third parties by identifying, under harsh interrogation, items of evidence that then may be used against him. With the help of bad information gained by torture, the United States has turned a short few days of Iraq conquest into more than 4 years of bloody occupation. The price of every piece of allegedly useful information gained by torture is the maiming, death, and displacement of millions of Iraqis, and the death and disabling of many thousands of American troops. Then there's the Geneva Conventions. Some officials argue that harsh treatment of prisoners is okay because normal protections of the law do not apply to people captured on the battlefield. The drafters of the Geneva Conventions, indeed virtually all other governments, strongly take exception to such arguments. Respecting detainees taken even in the undeclared warfare now being conducted by the United States in Afghanistan and Iraq, Article 4 of the 1949 Convention says that such individuals shall not be subjected to A, violence to life and person, in particular murder of all kinds, mutilation, cruel treatment, and torture, B, the taking of hostages, C, outrages upon personal dignity, in particular humiliating and degrading treatment, D, the passing of sentences and the carrying out of executions without previous judgment pronounced by a regularly constituted court affording all the judicial guarantees which are recognized as indispensable by civilized peoples. The United States was one of the primary framers of the Geneva Conventions, and such treaty obligations are a part of U.S. law. However, advocates of the Military Commissions Act and supporters of imprisonments at Guantanamo argue that the base is outside U.S. territory and the normal protections of the individual provided by U.S. laws do not apply. Those advocates argue that neither are the detainees, so-called unlawful enemy combatants, covered by the Geneva Conventions. The basic argument is that our laws do not protect people who fight as individuals or non-state groups against the United States, even if they are protecting their homes and hearths against U.S. invasion and occupation. Under those rules, George III could have joined every colonial rebel to the criminal class. Here then is a piece on U.S. federal law on torture. Before going deeper, it would be worthwhile to look at the provisions of U.S. law. Title 18 of the United States Code is actually quite clear on what torture is. The language of Title 18 on this matter has neither been repealed nor amended by subsequent legislation. Definitions read as follows. Number one. Torture means an act committed by a person acting under the color of law, specifically intended to inflict severe physical or mental pain or suffering upon another person within his custody or physical control. Number two, severe mental pain or suffering means the prolonged mental harm caused by or resulting from A, the intentional infliction or threatened infliction of severe physical pain or suffering, B, the administration or application or threatened administration or application of mind-altering substances or other procedures calculated to disrupt profoundly the senses or the personality, C, the threat of imminent death, or D, the threat that another person will be imminently subjected to death, severe physical pain or suffering, or the administration or application of mind-altering substances or other procedures calculated to disrupt profoundly the senses or personality. And number three, the United States includes all areas under the jurisdiction of the United States. In crafting the Title 18 language, the legal drafters stuck close to ordinary English. It is not difficult for any of us to follow the foregoing definitions. They are clearly consistent with the letter and spirit of both the Geneva Conventions and the UN Convention Against Torture. Section 2340B of the Code says its rules apply if, quote, the alleged offender is present in the United States, irrespective of the nationality of the victim or the alleged offender, unquote. Now, the Bush administration seeks to escape all of this by arguing that the detainees are aliens. They are not legal combatants, meaning people in the military services of any enemy country. They are not in U.S. territory. Therefore, U.S. law does not protect them. We'll be back with Terrell E. Arnold's piece for Rents.com on this whole business of torture, the Guantanamo escape from accountability, when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ilan Pop of the Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine will join us at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Prior to that time, we've been looking at some news stories, specifically Terrell E. Arnold's piece at Rents.com today about torture and about the lack of accountability that is exemplified by a policy of torture. In this case, specifically as it relates to what Terrell E. Arnold tells us has been going on at Guantanamo. And this makes for a nice piece in conjunction with the Grand Rapids Press coverage of April 29th about Eric Prince and the Blackwater USA Company. That's a story that's not going to go away because it has far deeper implications, not simply for the legal case that involves the family members of the four Blackwater people that were killed in March of 2004, but also because there is an entire foreign policy that it seems to me is being conducted by unseen hands. Unseen hands and very powerful political money players and associations that paint a picture of our involvement in that country that is something other than what it should be. And I continue to believe that there is a connection between this company and the Israeli lobby, directly or indirectly, and the Israeli intelligence community. I don't have the evidence in front of me, but I want to read Jeremy Scahill's book to see what he has to say about it. And if any of you out there have some concrete information that would connect the Blackwater USA operation specifically to Israel and to the Israeli intelligence community, I sure appreciate knowing about it. We have a pledge drive going on right now, by the way, with the Republic Broadcasting Network. We really need your support. And the only way that we can possibly continue what we've been doing at RBN is with you. We have a partnership with you, the listeners, and that partnership involves all of the work that we can jointly produce together to ensure that RBN maintains the quality that it's always had in the past and that we can not only continue but can expand the outreach that we want to have in this country and in the world as we continue to head toward all kinds of draconian things internationally and domestically. We can only do it with your help, though. And if you can help us, please do. Contact us at www.republicbroadcasting.org on the World Wide Web. Give us a call at 1-800-724-2719, or use our physical address, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, to send us a gift if you can possibly do so. This is an important time this week, our pledge drive. Please help us and strengthen us and our outreach to the extent that you can possibly do it. And again, you can do so through the World Wide Web at www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can do so by calling us at our toll-free number, 1-800-724-2719, or by using our physical address, which is the Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Through any of those contact points, you can also have the new DVD by Aaron Russo, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Use the same contact points that you use for the pledge drive. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or the physical address, which again is 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You know, we just have a minute or so, I think, before another commercial break. But I wanted to get back to what Terrell E. Arnold has to say about this whole business of torture and the Guantanamo escape from accountability. You can find that piece at Rents.com. I also want to discuss the implications of Mr. Arnold's article in comparison with what the Grand Rapids Press tells us on April 29th about this Blackwater USA company. Quite clearly, something has happened in this country when we have a foreign policy that is being conducted by a foreign lobby, when we have a foreign policy that is being